if we're looking at the highlights of human development, you have to look at the evolution of the organism and then at the development of its interaction with the environment. Evolution of the organism will begin with the evolution of life, proceed through the hominid, coming to the evolution of mankind, Neanderthal, Cro-Magnon man. Now, interestingly, what you're looking at here are three strains: biological, anthropological, development of cities, cultures, and culture, which is human expression. Now, what you've seen here is the evolution of populations, not so much the evolution of individuals. And in addition, if you look at the timescales that's involved here, 2 billion years for life, 6 million years for the hominid, 100,000 years for mankind as we know it, you're beginning to see the telescoping nature of the evolutionary paradigm. And then when you get to agriculture, when you get to scientific revolution and industrial revolution, you're looking at 10,000 years, 400 years, 150 years. You're seeing a further telescoping of this evolutionary time. What that means is that as we go through the new evolution, it's going to telescope to the point we should be able to see it manifest itself within our lifetime, within a generation. The new evolution stems from information, and it stems from two types of information, digital and analog. The digital is artificial intelligence. The analog results from molecular biology, the cloning of the organism, and you knit the two together with neurobiology. Before, under the old evolutionary paradigm, one would die and the other would grow and dominate. But under the new paradigm, they would exist as a mutually supportive, non-competitive grouping, okay, independent from the external. And what is interesting here is that evolution now becomes an individually centered process, emanating from the needs and the desires of the individual, and not an external process, a passive process, where the individual is just at the whim of the collective. So you produce a neo-human, okay, with a new individuality, a new consciousness. But that's only the beginning of the evolutionary cycle, because as the next cycle proceeds, the input is now this new intelligence. As intelligence piles on intelligence, as ability piles on ability, the speed changes. Until what? Until you reach a crescendo. In a way, could be imagined as an almost instantaneous fulfillment of human and neo-human potential. It could be something totally different. It could be the amplification of the individual, the multiplication of individual existences, parallel existences, now with the individual no longer restricted by time and space. And the manifestations of this neo-human type evolution, manifestations could be dramatically counterintuitive. That's the interesting part. The old evolution is cold, it's sterile, it's efficient, okay? And its manifestations are those of social adaptation. You're talking about parasitism, dominance, morality, okay? War, predation. These would be subject to de-emphasis. These would be subject to de-evolution. The new evolutionary paradigm would give us the human traits of truth, of loyalty, of justice, of freedom. These would be the manifestations of the new evolution. And that is what we would hope to see from this. That would be nice.
I mean, the law of the country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, September 14th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the walk global sit-rep for core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal just after I get off my ass, and hopefully I posted it by 9 o'clock in the morning. And if not, make sure you check back during the day, because chances are my internet may still be down as I'm running around trying to find a good little connection for me to upload my various scattered rantings onto the internet. If you can get to my live journal, unlike myself who can, because again, my internet's down, Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. WNY.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa, as well as SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. You can, drive around town, broadcast it on FM frequencies. You can hand out CDs to Jehovah Witnesses when they come up and knock on your door. You can glue an AOL CD to a Rant Media CD and then leave them back on the stack. That's always fun to do. So let's get straight into some feedback straight off the top. Dear Sean, info to pass on / remember. I was myself a longtime smoker for quite some time, and I find the best way to reverse a long-term addiction like smoking, I had to do the exact same quitting measure with cola, is to stop cold turkey. Wait about 2 weeks, and then just do one smoke. That way, the taste acquisition is gone, so it'll taste like total shit and put you guys right off of it. By the way, having quit cola, I want to say that you called it. It's done massive good for me. My metabolism is back at a workable number. And while I've got less energy, it's not dirty energy. Dirty energy is what I consider stuff that things like smoking, speed cola, etc. gives you. It feels funny. It makes you nauseated. So definitely, the quitting cola was a good call. Thanks. Now, that's from RN. Now, that's a great idea because I've never actually thought of it as dirty energy versus clean energy. Because if you're exercising, you're getting, speeding up your metabolism and stuff like that. Naturally, eating six small meals a day rather than eating six deals a day. But if you want to eat six small meals a day, try to get as much exercise as you can. It's hard. It's hard, especially if you're like one of these poor shift workers or guys who are doing like three part-time jobs. When do you get the time to exercise? And as well, how do you get the time to pack your own food and to make sure, it's just a hassle to lug around Tupperware? Unless, of course, you happen to have yourself a nice little walk backpack so that you can look after yourself for the least amount of money. And that's kind of where, a lot of the WOG training comes in. A lot of the WOG concepts that I try to communicate is the fact that, hey, if you can control your own food supply, controlling what you want, meaning controlling what your wants are during the day, if you can control that, then chances are you'll be able to control the things that other people use to control you. When you think about it, impulse buying through things like Pops, chips, chocolate bars, they're always due to the fact that it's prominently located. There's lots of research been thrown in to, see what makes people impulse buy. And, of course, the number one reason is convenience. That's why 7-Eleven exists. But when you realize that you can get past that and escape consumer culture but just by looking after yourself, well, your options unfold just a little bit. Another piece of feedback here. Dear Sean, I've been listening to you for a few years now. Ouch, feeling old. And I've never written to you until now. I'm from a small town of 200 in East Texas, not too far from New Orleans. I have an uncle who has a beach house in Biloxi, who my family and I are still waiting to hear from. Chances are his beach house is now an undersea adventure. I want to comment on the cops on New Orleans not showing up for work. Yes, I agree with you. It's a criminal offense. It should be punishable for those who abandon their post. However, whatever percentage of the New Orleans Police Department was corrupt, I'm willing to bet that most of those who never showed up at work are likely the dirty ones. Perhaps when this is all over, one benefit will be that New Orleans has forced a lot of post 9/11. New Orleans has a force a lot like post 9/11 New York's. I see. Well, I don't actually know the police force in New York, so I can't comment on that. Proud of who they are and how they performed when tested, and the weak were weeded out. And possibly when they showed up for work, they weren't helping many people anyway. You Canadians fucking rock. You're responsible for Switched On being in me and my friend's lexicon. Oh, Switched On, meaning the term Switched On being in your and your friend's lexicon. Thank you so much for everything you've done since What the Hell, and that's from Karma Kills. Well, no worries, Karma Kills. It's not like I have a choice. This is all part of being insane, as you really can't stop doing that, but I appreciate it, that it's helped you out, because really, that's why we do what we do. Dear Sean, I was spending some time with Mama Cat, because this is from Ronan Alien Kitten, so he's spending time with the Mama Cat. As I do as often as I can, a mother is a terrible thing to waste. And we began talking on the subject of the American president, which, because, there's just so much to discuss there. She's really against my lifestyle as a WOG. Now, this is one of those scary emails where people start associating WOG with lifestyle and that. There is no WOG lifestyle as such, but we're not going to get it. I.e., being overly prepared. Well, you got to watch that. You don't want to turn paranoid or hypervigilant. Reading into every conspiracy I can find, getting rid of my excess stuff, etc. Now, the getting rid of your excess stuff, that's always good. Pack light, pack light, pack light. We began talking. About the president. She brought up to me that she didn't believe the president was making his own decisions. Dun, dun, dun. Well, that's obvious. And not just that, but she believes that he's being drugged. Dun, dun, dun. Well, you know, when you think about the amount of stress that the man, the human being, George Bush is actually under, of course he's being drugged. I mean, at least he's got to be drinking martinis. Every single politician in Washington with the level of stress and shit that they got to deal with, you know they're taking drugs. Even if it's just alcohol at lunchtime, you know everybody's high. She grew up in a home of druggies, so I personally believe her to be qualified to spot the effects of drugs. And she pointed out how often he seems distant. His eyes don't always focus, and he drools occasionally during speaches. She also pointed out that he isn't always this way, so it can't be retardation, as he can sometimes appear clear and bright. I would look for a video myself to confirm this on my own for my own benefit, but I'm currently without broadband access. If you could look into this for me, I would appreciate it. I like when Wogs ask me new stuff like that. Yours in love and hate, peace and war, Ronan Alien Kitten. Well, I don't really need to do much research in that there, big guy, because I guarantee you me that the president is, in fact, on some kind of drug system. Guaranteed. And further to that, of course he doesn't make his own plans. Of course he doesn't. He's the head of, like, a whole series of guys. You know, all the theories of power state that you never want to be the guy who's actually got the focus on you. You know, if you're drawing attention, you're not the one in power. So clearly, he's a figurehead. I mean, come on, look at the dude. I mean, he's a nice guy, I suppose, as an individual. Like, I'd go have a beer with him or something. He didn't seem like a prick. Some of his policies are way the fuck out to lunch, you know. He's all down with the Mud Hut crowd and all that. And that's, you know, your call, dude, whatever. But, you know, obviously, he's not making his own decisions. He's got to respond to where he thinks the power base is from. And that's what's making the decisions is the power base. We haven't had a president who's made his own decisions since Kennedy. Wonder why that is. Dear Sean, this is in regards to that nitrous system I was talking about for running hydrogen on your car. It's a nitrous system that a listener mentioned turns out to be a very, very bad idea. Oh, really? The idea is that the tanks they sell on the website are a hydride tank system, which, well, don't explode. Now, the hydrogen mods won't work on most smaller cars because they usually have really high gas ratio or they have a turbocharger, which is a nasty bit of pre-burn, which will pretty much destroy your engine. Now, 99% of the time, your pistons and shafts will be coated with a good layer of oil, which I'm sure you found doesn't wash off with water. Just a good reason to keep your oil topped off, really. Now, this isn't the one that will be the chief on the market. Financially speaking, it's one of the cheapest mod setups for hydrogen system on the market right now. I'm guessing that another company will pick up on the simple technology that this is and sell it cheaper. So it's not that it's being sold, it's that it's being made. Remember, the Edsel was expensive when it first came out, too, and other companies made cheaper versions. Oh, hell, Tandy was about $5,000, and now we have better, stronger, faster, cheaper computers. Anyway, just a financial history observation and some science fact to counter the worry about the hydrogen kits. I owe you a beer, Fenris. Well, outstanding. It's good to see that there are people running checksums on the crazy shit that I spit out into the internet, because God only knows what could happen if I didn't have people actually looking at my stuff. But, I mean, I think that said, you know, there's a lot to be said for making sure you can look after your own fuel. I still want to get my hands on one of those generators systems there was that small wind generator. Those nice guys sent me a thing on these small wind generators. You know, when I was talking about, I was talking to a samurai girl there. And she was, talking about the plum stuff. And then these other dudes from this wind generator place, they were listening to me and I was talking about the wind generators. Now, when you look at things like, you know, controlling your own water and food, like where I am right now, the house I live in right now, we're on a well water system, you know. So what does that mean? That means that, okay, that's good. You're not on city water. That's good. That means you get to control somewhat what goes into your body. So it comes up, you want to install yourself a filtration system, but of course your whole house runs on what? Well, it runs on electricity. So if the power fails, you're essentially fucked. Now, what I want to do, I ain't got the cash to do it, I got the space to do it, but I want to put in, like, a bank of, I don't know, about 50 or 60 car batteries so that I make myself an ad hoc capacitor, sort of a buffer there, and see if I can hook it up to have wind generators and solar generators running power that way to see if, you know, you do the power switch over thing. So you've got all the energy smart stuff, and see if you can actually get your house to run and be self-sufficient. Try to get off the grid. Now, for those of us living in apartment buildings, that's damn near impossible. Unless, of course, you get all totally jiggy with it and do a similar sort of setup with car batteries and power inverters and all that kind of jazz in order to, you know, keep yourself warm and so on and so forth. I just keep on remembering back when the Soviet Union fell apart and there was all those people burning their furniture to try to stay warm and survive through the winter. That's the kind of stuff that I'd like to, say, avoid. You know, not to mention all the craziness that's going on in New Orleans. You know, really, it's just kind of, I think everybody has a responsibility to look after themselves. So, you know, don't let people try to get you down, and don't let people tell you that you're being paranoid and hypervigilant, unless, of course, you are being paranoid and hypervigilant, in which case, well, you know, I don't know, relax, have a beer. Sort yourself out. Hey, Rant Radio. This is to the entire Rant Radio world. Not me, not Sim, to Rant Radio itself, the small box we keep in the corner. I heard about the show from a friend who goes by the handle of Resonant. Ooh, I can tell this person spends a lot of time online. And I'm in a situation where I don't really know what to do. My parents want to leave the state, and they want me to go with them. Well, I think it would have been good to have a change. I also think it is time to start up my own life. The problem is that I am facing now that I have no assets to my name. I want to make it on my own, but I need something to work with. I will take any ideas that you have. Well, this is classic, you know? And I'm going to go way, like, I don't know how old you are, because you haven't told me. This is the total email I got here. I have no idea how old this person is. I have no idea even what country you're coming from. I'm guessing it must be the States, because you said you're moving to another state. So it's kind of like this. If you are young, meaning, you know, prior to whatever legal age is in your state, and you want to abandon your parents because, you know, you want to go live your own life, I would counsel against that until you have a little bit more of a financial base, or at least a job. You know, no job equals no options, because you need money. You need money to survive. No money equals fucked. So beyond that, there's other ways. Now, if you really want to get out and start your own thing, there's certain organizations you could join. You could go with the Peace Corps. You could sign up with to do some missionary work if you happen to be in the Mud Hut crowd. You know, you can get yourself out of the house that way. Get to see a little bit of the world before you start making, you know, majorly bad decisions with your life, like, you know, just kind of bailing on your parents at the wrong time. Now, if a lot of people get really mad at me, but, you know, the military service is an option, you know, if you're old enough to do that, three hots and a cot, you know, stand a good chance of getting killed. But I guarantee that which does not kill you will, in fact, make you stronger. So if you get through it without coming back completely shell-shocked psycho, that's another option too, but it will get you out of the house. And of course, oh God, do I get hate mail whenever I present that option to people, but it is an option. You know, people don't like it. And, you know, that is something that people could look at if that's something they wanted to do, but you want to give a lot of thought to that. Any decision you make regarding leaving home, a lot of people don't put a lot of thought into it. They just kind of hope that, oh, well, you know, God will look after me or some shit like that. And they go waltzing off like some cosmic Betty Burke, you know, to try to figure out, you know, what the hell's going on. And then before you know it, they wind up in the shitstorm, and they wind up, you know, begging on street corners, and the things get really, really bad. There's a time to be dreamy and to think about, you know, oh, wouldn't it be nice if, and there's a time when you have to actually take real serious financial accountability into mind when you're considering your future, and that's something that a lot of people just don't seem to consider. They never seem to think beyond college. Now, on to the news. In Mud Hut Law News, this is great. You know, this is probably the best news story of the day. Premier Dalton McGuinty said today, Ontario will reject the use of Sharia law and will move to prohibit all religious-based tribunals to settle family disputes such as divorce, which is handy because we're able to get rid of, like, the whole Mud Hut concept of, you know, whatever the Sharia law is based on Islamic law, which, you know, is based on Mud Hut beliefs like praying to rocks and stuff. His announcement came after hundreds of demonstrators around the world this week protested a proposal to let Ontario residents use Islamic law for settling family disputes, which I can bet that there's probably not enough men who would have wanted that because women are not so popular in Islamic law. In fact, women suck a lot in Islamic law. That's because they all wear tarps. And if you go to the website, there's a great lay picture of a person in a beekeeper outfit with a woman explaining to this woman in a beekeeper outfit that, you know, lady, wake the fuck up. We will not tolerate the interference of religion in our justice system, said Huma Andramand, who organized a protest in Toronto that drew hundreds of people Thursday. The protests were generally peaceful, but on the outskirts of Toronto, demonstrators the pro-Sharia activist Mubin Shaika and his wife Joanne Sika verbally sparred with protesters. Shaika said the misuse of the Sharia doesn't mean it should be excluding from Canadian civil law. Abuse of the process is not proof against the process, just as people wrongfully imprisoned is not proof against Canadian law, Shaki said. Well, sorry, you know, if people are wrongfully imprisoned, then that is evidence of problems with the Canadian law system, and those problems need to be addressed. So, you know, as opposed to religious law, which is based upon religion, So there's no real logic here because you're basing it on stories and scrolls from books that aren't in, what's the term I'm looking for, real, that are fake, that are made up, myths and all that sort of stuff. You know, and if we think about what would have meant if we'd allowed this, does that mean we should, you know, for those of us who still believe in the Greek pantheon of gods, you know, if I want to have my myself tried under the court proceedings of people who worship, say, oh, I don't know, how about Shiva? What if we start a Tuggy sect here in Canada? And, you know, I mean, we could totally pull that off, and I'll be tried under Tuggy law. You know, why not? You know, in order, you know, right of manhood, I'll choke out a hooker while, you know, strangling her with a scarf. You know, that'll, and while having sex with her, that's all part of that, you know, whole sort of Tuggy faith thing. Why not do that? I mean, if you want to get into religious law, you should look at some of the better religions. Ho-ho! Some of the real kooky ones. And there's ones that go back thousands of years that are fucked up, dude. Like cannibalism and stuff like that. We just like to look at, you know, the big ones. We look at, you know, the Torah and the Quran, and we look at the Bible, and we, like, you know, they seem sort of friendly, but if you get down deep into any of those religious texts, you'll find laws in there that'll melt your head. I mean, there's stuff in the Torah that's insane, you know, clearly. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, therefore, you know, all Jews are bad, blah, 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 none of that nonsense. But what I'm saying is that if you take it literally, yeah, there's some problems with religious texts. That's why there's religion, and then there's reality. Okay, don't have the church and state get together. That's a bad idea. All the positives it gives you does not make up for the negatives. Now then, in Bruce Lee news, this story is unbelievable. This is probably one of the coolest stories I've ever heard of, ever. This is just absolutely nuts. This is from Shai Halud, sent me this story. Ethnically divided Bosnian city of Mostar. Okay, so now just to get everybody caught up here, the former Republic of Yugoslavia, there was a dude who was in charge of everything down there. He died, everything took a shit, and it turned into, like, ethnic tension central, okay? And the whole country balkanized, there's war and landmines and all sorts of atrocities. It was just a massive shitstorm. And even to this day, it's still not back on its feet. It's all fucked up. And one of the cities is a city called Mostar. But they've agreed to erect a new symbol of unity in the city. A statue. I'm not making this up. This is right from Reuters, okay? I had to confirm this because I didn't believe it first time I read it. So these ethnically divided, you know, we got Muslim, Serbs, and Croats in this city. And they're going to put up something as a symbol of unity. And they've decided to use, that's right, a statue of Bruce Lee, okay, is what they're, like, St. Bruce. A group of enthusiasts came up with the idea, honoring the childhood hero of the city's ethnic groups in 2003 on the 30th anniversary of his death. They launched the project, found donors, and waited a year for the city's approval. We plan to erect the statue in November in the city's center, Veselin Gatalo, member of the urban movement organization, told Reuters by telephone on Monday. This will be a monument to universal justice that Mostar needs more than any other city I know. He said that Mostar, a scene of fighting between Muslims and Croats between 1993 and 1994, needed a symbol of justice, mastery, and honesty, virtues upheld by the late Chinese-American actor. Born in San Francisco, Lee starred in several kung fu movies, including 1973's Enter the Dragon. He died at age 32 from swelling in the brain, which, you know, that's open to some controversy as to how and why he died, so on and so forth. A German organization agreed last year to sponsor the project with a 5,000 euro grant. The statue, cast in bronze and showing the martial arts master in typical fighting pose, will be designed by a local sculptor and put up in central Mostar. Lee's widow, Linda, will be invited to attend the ceremony. For years, reconciliation in post-war Mostar was slower than anywhere else in Bosnia, but the reconstruction of the city's old bridge last year helped reunite Muslim and Croat communities separated by the river. Now, that is just plainly, you know, the coolest story ever, as far as I'm concerned. Now, granted, I am a flaming, screaming Bruce Lee fanboy. Okay, total Bruce Lee fanboy on the go over here. Okay, that said, though, I mean, could you imagine doing something in your life, okay, totally unrelated? Like, the guy, it could be argued that, I mean, he was a fighter. I mean, he was a martial artist, talked about martial arts ideals and stuff like that. Made a bunch of movies, and now he's being used to promote peace in a region of the world after some of the most savage fighting of the century. You know, I mean, this is just that, what an amazing monument to have erected. You know, that's just, it just makes me feel warm and tingly all over. Now, speaking of feeling warm and tingly all over, in Taser news, a juvenile. Now I'll note that in this story, okay, you'll note that the guy did not use a taser. So just watch this out here. A juvenile has been arrested and charged with striking a Broxton police officer last Wednesday at a bus stop at Broxton Mary Hayes Elementary School. Okay. According to Broxton Police Chief Hugh McReady, a cop named McReady, that's hilarious, officers have been asked to assist school employees at the Broxton bus stop due to past problems with older students. All right. The incident occurred after an officer asked a 16-year-old to pull up his pants from around his knees. So this kid's got his pants down. I guess he's, got his pants down. It doesn't say if he's wearing underwear. I guess he wasn't indecently exposing himself. I guess the officer told the kid to pull up his pants because he was walking around with his pants around his knees. Which, does the cop have the right to ask you to do that? I'm sure he's probably not hurting anybody, but you'd have to look at the situation. But anyway, that's the situation. The cop told the kid to pull up his pants. The juvenile turned and struck the officer in the face with his fist. Okay, so pull up your pants, turn smack, apparently. The officer attempted to subdue the juvenile by placing handcuffs on him, but the juvenile broke free. The juvenile then struck the officer again, knocking him to the ground. So he punches the officer in the face. The guy's like, what the fuck are you doing? Throws cuffs on him, and the kid gets free again because he thinks it's Grand Theft Auto or something and decides to attack the cop. I'm not a slag against Grand Theft Auto, but I would wonder why you do this. The juvenile was restrained by a bus driver and other high school students. He was taken into custody and was turned over to a juvenile officer. The juvenile faces charges of obstructing law enforcement and violence and battery. So you look at this, right? And you got to think to yourself, if you're going to subdue a kid like this who's clearly, batshit bonkers, the only way you can do it is with arm bars. And, through basically holding people down. And the harder they thrash, the more likely they are to hurt themselves. Now, you'll note that the cop did not use a taser here. And you got to ask yourself, in a situation like this, if he had used a taser, what would the headlines be? Oh, cops taser a teenager. That's exactly what it would have been. When quite clearly, this is what the cops have to deal with. Albeit even badly that the cop didn't have the right to ask a kid to pull up his pants. Let's say the kid was totally in the right, okay? He was just screwing around, had his pants down, and he was wearing big boxer shorts that looked like regular gym shorts. Let's say that, okay? So the cop walks up and says, pull up your pants. Kid says, no, I'm not pulling up your pants. Screw you, cop. No, he didn't say that. He attacked the cop and punched the cop in the face. Now, you look at that and you go, okay, you're someone who's definitely got some issues. You're a little we're a little concerned about your performance levels here. I personally think that that child should have taken a ride on the taser wagon. That's just me. But, how else do you deal with something like that? I mean, this kid is all messed up. So, it's kind of embarrassing when you have to have a whole shitload of people help a cop subdue this psycho teenager. I don't know. Now, in OEC news, now this is, OEC is my little acronym for Outworld Entity Chart. And this is something I use and, sort of something I'm working on here. It'll be out in one of the books. But anything that's regarding Outworld stuff, now generally I don't like to go wandering too far off into the Weekly World News category of things, but it is something to when it's a significant story, like if let's say a flying saucer landed on the White House lawn, somebody's going to have to report on that, mind you, it'll probably be on CNN and stuff, but anyway, here we go. Now listen to this one. Paul Hellyer, a one-time cabinet minister and political chameleon. I like the way they've... this guy's been in politics for years. Who went through both liberal and Tory colors before founding two political parties of his own, has a new cause, UFOs. Now, you'll notice that he's already trying to discredit the guy. Hellyer is to be a featured speaker at a UFO conference in Toronto last month, and organizers are making much of his credentials as a former defense minister in the Pearson administration 40 years ago. So, at one time, the guy was a defense minister. So even though they're saying he's crazier than a shithouse rat now, at one time, this guy was the defense minister. Okay, the dude's 82 years old. And the 82-year-old says he believes that not only are UFOs are extraterrestrial visitors, but that some governments, the United States at least, know all about it and are covering it up. So we got this 82-year-old guy who, why would he lie about this? He says he believes the American scientists have re-engineered alien wreckage from a supposed UFO crash at Roswell, New Mexico in 1947 to produce modern technical marvels. So we're back to Roswell again. I believe the UFOs are real, he said in a recent interview. I talk about that a little bit. I'll talk about that a little bit and a bit about the fantastic cover-up the United States government and also a little bit of the fallout from the wreckage. I mean, the material discoveries we have made and how they've been applied to our technology. Hellyer was once a political star. He was first elected to the Commons in 1949 at the age of 25. At that time, the youngest person ever to win a seat in the House of Commons. He went on to become a cabinet minister, ran for the Liberal leadership against Pierre Trudeau, switched parties to the Conservatives and ran for that party's leadership too. He eventually founded two other political parties, Action Canada in 71 and the Canadian Action Party in 1997. He said his conviction that UFOs are real rose from reading in recent years, not from anything gleaned in the secret archives during his time in office. So, you know, he's saying that he's not really, he kind of buys into it afterwards. But it's interesting that a dude like this would become involved with it. Or is it? Is this guy just a crazy old kook? Who knows? Who knows? But I'll tell you one thing. There's an awful lot of people seeing weird stuff in the sky. You know, and no one ever talks about it, of course. You know, there's a lot of people who, if you look into the UFO thing, it's a scary world to start messing around with. And that's why, you know, I don't know if it's true or not. I've seen lights moving in the sky. Technically, I've seen UFOs. True, I'll come out and say it. You bet. I saw them when I was in the Army. I'd be out there in the field over the ranges in the prairies, and we saw these little lights. They look like stars, but they're doing like, looks like they're doing calligraphy squiggles, like the way a kid would, like, spin a sparkler around, only it's, like, way up in the stratosphere. You know what I mean? So I'm, like, looking at this going, well, that's not a plane, and it's not ball lightning. I don't know what the hell it is. It's clear sky. You know, all you got is this little pin light doing, you know, crazy, crazy acrobatics in the sky. Well, what the hell is that? You don't know. Is it aliens? I don't know. You don't know. It's just UFO. So, and I'm not the only guy to see it. You know, there's other guys who've seen stuff like that. Most people have seen weird stuff in the sky. Very, very strange. So what does that mean? Well, it means one of two things. One, it's nothing. Two, it's something. If it's something and it's not from this world, I'll put it to you that due to the natural laws of conflict that we should be aware of it. And, well, you know, any intelligent species that comes in contact with it, we will either serve them or they will serve us. That's pretty much how it's going to work because that's the way reality is. The whole share and share alike thing just doesn't seem to really work out when you look at it over the big picture. Of course, there's going to be a lot of people who disagree with me on that basis. But again, this is why, you know, I prefer a little bit more of the Heinlein than the Starfleet. But I'll take either, as long as we get off world. Now, update. Some British resistance sent to me by Dead Code. Very, very cool story. A UK-based organization to preserve digital rights and freedoms has been set up thanks to pledges of money by those passionate about such rights. So I reported on this a while ago, a couple weeks back. But it seems that it's still going on, which I'm very, very pleased about. It says that it wants to highlight the European and UK legislation that, which threatens the right of digital citizens. So that's interesting. Still at the early stages, the Open Rights Group, ORG, will serve as a hub for other cyber rights groups campaigning on similar digital rights issues. ORGs emulate the US's Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF Digital Rights Group. Now, I wonder sometimes how effective the EFF is. Now, granted, I totally dig them. I think they're super cool guys, hugely necessary, and they put up with a lot of crap. I mean, when you think about the amount of stuff that these guys do and what they just put up with day to day trying to fight against this massive machine, if there was ever a group to support, I think that the EFF would be a very good group to lend credence to and to try to, you know, help out as best you can. It'd be interesting to make sure that this Open Rights group isn't a front for another society. We'd like to see where their money's coming from. So I wouldn't just jump on board right away, but it's something to look at. The EFF has campaigned against entertainment industry's attempt to limit what people can do with digital media, because if you buy it, it should be yours. It has also provided guidelines and legal advice to bloggers at work and has helped shape e-voting policies. The ORG aims to nurture a grassroots community of volunteers to campaign on the digital rights issues such as ID card proposal, biometric passports, data protection, fair use rights of digital content, and vehicle tracking technologies. Now, I put it to you that a lot of these digital rights groups, I mean, if the government wants to bring this stuff in, which they will, I mean, they're already talking about putting black boxes in cars in the States. People are wanting to have biometric DNA setups all throughout, you know, cross-continental stuff. They've already got Interpol. It's been running for years. We've got Echelon. When you look at the amount of money that's backing, quote-unquote, the bad guys, you know, and you've got these kind of this token resistance group here, you know, it's pretty daunting stuff. So the folks that are involved in battling that, I mean, they're really amazing human beings, and we should probably try to get behind them as best we can. But, again, I would want to make sure that this open rights group is the same thing as the EFF and is not just a front for some type of organization that's just, you know, a way to keep track of the activists. Not to be paranoid, but that's, you know, kind of the way I look at things. Now, to go with the face of Satan, this was sent to me by Dead Code. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes on regarding art. There's a lot of people, you know, they'll argue back and forth about what is and what is not art. You know, what you know, music should and should not be all about. Now, this particular story here is, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking. As heartwarming as the Bruce Lee story was, this story here just really, it's so bad that it shows why I do what I do. And it is a statement to try to, you know, stand up and get people to actually get back into art again on music. It seems that a London-based ad agency called Saatchi & Saatchi has launched a new division called Gum, created to target the elusive teen and young 20s demographic. Target. I love how they say this. Says Finn. The idea was simple. According to the Wall Street Journal, Saatchi & Saatchi is offering advertisers a sort of human billboard. That is, owning and naming their all-female hip-hop band, having their products seen or used or worn on stage and in music videos. And if they want, paying a little extra, have their product names used within the lyrics of the band's songs. You're not an artist. Like, what are you doing? The band made its first appearance last evening at Saatchi & Saatchi offices. Unless you knew any better, you'd never know it was a marketing device. The agency calls this branded entertainment. Interesting term there. Branded entertainment, the face of Satan. And finds masking advertising within entertainment is a better way to reach the tough young demographic. Yes, and you're only making us tougher, too. Also, conforming from Gum, commissioned entertainment for other media include TV, film, cell phone, and video games. Wow, these guys are just, you know, the Prince of Darkness. Meet S&S Gum Girls, Rockwell, Mercedes, SJ, and Chanel. And why not? A custom-built, all-female, of course, product of promo hip-hop, of course, a band which is kind of a natural extension of the now well-established marketing practice of using teens to promote their product you're trying to get them to buy in the first place. Possibly the sickest example of this in recent times came when Apple Computers, Pepsi, and the big four music label cartel used 16 teenagers who had been nailed by the cartel's RIAA, Recording Industry Association of America, in a shockingly cynical iPod campaign. And it's sick to see, you know, the psychological operations that are going on, because it is going on. It's going on every day. And people can see it. I mean, it's not like we're worried about mind control, and you don't even have to get too far into the, you know, tinfoil hat sort of category just to see how sick and weird this truly is. Now, in voice over internet protocol VoIP news, the VoIP development is posing a threat to state-protected telecom carriers, calling into question China's willingness to let technology advance in the marketplace. Now, this is kind of interesting because China has no problem with stem cell research, right? They're doing all sorts of medical research, but oh, hey, I guess the core politicals are getting a little bit sketchy seeing that VoIP poses a threat. VoIP services took a big bite of the nearly 3% out of Chinese telecom revenues in the first half of 2005, according to BDA, a technology consultancy in Beijing. BDA's research director, Dongming Zhang, told UPI, China Telecom's long-distance revenue totaled $1.8 billion in the first half of 2005, down by 2.8% from $1.858 billion the first half of 2004. Oh my God! We may as well just start murdering people. The decline in long-distance revenue can be attributed to the impact of VoIP primarily, Zhang said, adding, long-distance in China Telecom's second-largest revenue source, accounting for 18.2% of its total revenue in the first half of 2005. So, of course, you know, you have to charge money to get people to talk to each other, and not that that may or may not be ethical on any standard, but we all know that ethics have little or nothing to do with, you know, what goes on in a country anyway, especially a country like China. Come on! Stories in the Chinese and foreign media last week said that the Shenzhen branch of China Telecom, the country's largest telecommunications carrier, had begun blocking VoIP calls, made blacklists of users, and threatened to punish anyone trying around to get around the blocks on Skype, all in a bid to stop the revenue slide before as China's 100 million plus internet users catch on to the free and affordable PC-based long-distance calling services. The European company's free computer-to-computer telephone service has not yet been affected by the Shenzhen action. Skype does not offer its fee-based Skype-out services on the mainland. The service enables PC users to place inexpensive fixed-line and wireless phone calls worldwide. Skype-out type internet telephone services are illegal in China. They're illegal in China under a 2004 regulation to a product so-called market order. A product so-called market order. So it's a market order where the government interferes with. I get how that works. It's obviously been paid for by the big Chinese companies' business, like the telephone company in China. Asked about the immediate and long-term implications of the Shenzhen action, BDA sees this only as the first step. Citing domestic press reports, Zhang noted China Telecom has been in contact with software and hardware vendors concerned with technical measures to monitor and disable the use of Skype. A new monitoring system has started operation in Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Shenzhen, while nationwide deployment will take place from 2006 to 2007, Zhang said. So, when you look at this, what this means is that China wants to limit technology. And, of course, this is yet another example of how, once again, big business is actually the problem in the world. All these different companies, communist, socialist, you know, fascist, whatever, there's no real governments holding to ideas anymore. All the governments are beholden to what? They're beholden to the core political, to the flow of cash. That's what it's about. And this is just, you know, when we look at all the stuff that goes on with, like, oh, I don't know, KMBR or Halliburton and stuff like that with the United States, all you have to do is go over to China, and before anyone can say, oh, they do it much better over there, well, clearly, they do not. Now, in purchase tracking news, this is interesting. I don't know how you might feel about this. Let's just get through it. This is in Australia. People who handle explosives could be listed on a national police database in an effort to thwart terror attacks under a proposal expected to be presented to Australian police ministries next month. You betcha. Got to control those explosives because there's been lots of terrorist attacks in Australia, huge amounts. Liberal backbencher and former Victoria Police Counterterrorism Unit member Jason Wood and fellow Liberal MP Greg Hunt have proposed expanding the national police database CrimeTac to include seemingly innocuous activities that could indicate terror attack plans, such as taking flying lessons or buying chemicals. So if you take flying lessons, that's bad. So is buying chemicals. So is buying anything that has weight to it, because you can use that as a weapon. You know, CrimeTac is confined to information such as DNA records. Oh, that's all, eh? Fingerprints, details of child sex offenders, and criminal histories. So that's all what, everybody who couldn't be part of this thing. I mean, if it's keeping track of everywhere you're fingerprinted, think about how many times you've been fingerprinted. Have you been fingerprinted yet? Because all you have to do is go through one biometric scanner and boom, baby, you're fingerprinted. Explosives licensing is handled by states and territories. So, you know, that's something they'll have to look at. Ammonium nitrate is the choice explosive of the terrorist. Really? That's what they're saying. And though it may be purchased from an entirely innocent purposes, people should only be able to access it who has it on a central database, Mr. Wood said. That is a gap I see in our counterterror arrangements at this moment. Well, ammonium nitrate, I mean, you can get it from ice packs, you can get it from fertilizer, you can get it from a bunch of places, and a lot of these farmers use this stuff in their day-to-day life because, well, they need it on the farm. They're blowing stumps and stuff like that. You know, they take it and they mix it with diesel and boom, Bob's your uncle. You know, you slap it with a shotgun shell and thing blows up and blows the stump out of the ground. Now, I suppose it could be argued that there's a reason for people to buy. Like, if people are buying consistently, like a farmer or something like that, why are you buying the ammonium nitrate guy? Well, I mean, you'd ask, well, obviously I'm making explosives with it, or perhaps you're not making explosives with it, but should they be doing this? I mean, you could see the argument on both sides. So, I don't know. I'd have to say no, because I don't think there's much of a threat. I think this entire terrorist threat is largely fabricated. I there's not nearly the terrorism attacks that, you know, should be. And what about all the stuff that's not making the news? Okay, like these There's apparently a big IRA riot going on. Did anybody hear about this? This was sent to me by Thunderspud. Several burning cars littered roads in Protestant areas of Belfast on a third straight night of violence. Now, does anybody know about this? But all the intensity and lawlessness was considerably lower, police said. So the intensity of the lawlessness was considerably lower on the third night. Protestant militants loyal to the British crown have clashed with the security services since Saturday over a ban on a parade through Roman Catholic areas of Northern Ireland's capital city. Isn't it wonderful that the Irish can't seem to get past this mud hut theology? On Monday evening, numerous cars were set alight on 4th East in the center of Belfast, where a young loyalist had hurled Molotov cocktails, fireworks, and other objects at police. Now, you would think that this, to me, this is some pretty serious shit. This should be on the news, but we're not hearing anything about it. But there have been no reports of any injuries by about 10:30, so nobody got hurt, so I guess, you know, there's no blood, so therefore no bleeding, no leading. Earlier this afternoon, Protestant protesters blocked many of the main roads leading out of Belfast at the height of rush hour. At about 5 p.m. 1600 Greenwich Mean Time, several hundred men, women, and children sitting in the middle of the road blocked about half a dozen of the main routes from the city, as well as all of the slip roads on the motorway. Now, what is the big deal? Like, I wish these guys would get over this shit. You know, I myself am an Irish Canadian. You know, of course, I've never been to Ireland, but, you know, the family's all there. So I don't understand why they just can't seem to get past this. You know, I know there's been a lot of really bad shit that's gone on with the British and all the rest of it. Yeah, yeah, the potato famine was a lie. Yeah, yeah, they tried to starve us all out. But going and freaking out like this is not going to bring anybody back. Okay? You need to stop fucking going off about how badly wronged you were and start working towards a better tomorrow. You know, it's not going to work. You're not, no matter how, vengeance, what the fuck is that going to do? What are you going to get from that? It's ridiculous. We need to get rid of all of these priests on both sides and just start looking at things logically. Ireland is a beautiful country. It basically almost totally avoided the Industrial Revolution, be it good, be it bad. Now there's lots of IT shit coming out of Ireland, which is great. Sounds good to me. Bring out the IT. But the thing is that because of that, now if we could just get over this small violence thing, Ireland could make itself into a really nice little country. I hope that eventually, you know, people, maybe through education or whatever, if we could destroy the religious roots over there, that'd be really nice. You know, because I don't see a lot of pagans doing this kind of shit. But whatever. Maybe I'm just, you know, way out of line here. Fearing another night of violence, many shops chose to close in the afternoon, and businesses based near the Flashpoint protest areas of Belfast are allowed their staff to go home early. So business is stopping. Everybody's like, oh, fuck. You know, because these people have lived with these kind of problems, the troubles, as they're called, you know, for such a long time that it's, you know, they found a way to go business as usual. Maybe the United States and Australia and England could stand to learn from Ireland and their businesses all practices rather than trying to make your populace scared so incredibly shitless that they will just graciously accept any draconian and George Orwell-style police laws. That's just a thought, though. Police Chief Hugh Orde, however, insisted that Northern Ireland's UTV television station, that we are in control of the situation. So apparently the cops are like, no, 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 we got it all under control over here. Yeah, of course. What are they going to say? No, it's anarchy. We're totally, obviously it's going to say they're in control. Several thousand police and 1,200 soldiers have been deployed in the streets of the British-ruled territory, he added. Holy shit. So with several thousand police and military on the ground over there, that sounds like a major action, which isn't getting any radio play at all. Nobody's seen anything about this. Have you seen anything about this? Because I sure haven't. When you think of several thousand cops and military being deployed in a first world nation city, you think that should probably be on the news or something. The recent surge of violence has exposed a deep frustration among militant loyalists with the 1998 peace process that was intended to end 3 decades of strife in the province against the Roman Catholic Church. Oh, pardon me, since the Roman Catholic Irish Republican Army, or IRA. Northern Ireland's Protestants face a moment of choice between law and gangsterism. Britain warned after rioters hurling bite bombs, Molotov cocktails, and paving slabs injured at least 50 police and 10 civilians. Now, this is something that anyone kind of like doing the IRA thing needs to bear in mind, that, you know, terrorism is pretty much a scary word right now, and if they start painting themselves with IRA colors, that's a good way to put a target on your body so that you'll be well killed. because I don't think anyone will have a problem with killing you. Northern Ireland's Protestants face a moment of choice. Okay, so that's the ultimatum right there. It's basically being handed out, and I hope that they decide to learn to fight and run away and live to fight another day. That would be my counsel here. Don't get into this, please. There's no reason for more innocent people to die and for any more violence. You know, it hasn't changed anything in, what, fucking 800 years? It's not going to change anything now. Clue in. The clashes erupted Saturday over a ban on a parade through Roman Catholic areas and exposed deep frustration among the many Protestants with the 1998 priest process. Well, what do you want? You know, Christ, it's all religious-based. All of it. Just makes me nuts. Today's Daily Hack is an interesting one. This is a really neat website where you can buy globes. All different manners of globes. Globes that show you all the hot spots, flashpoints in the world. Really helps you see the planet as, well, a little blue ball. Very cool website. You'll definitely get some cool pics off of this. I love it. I think it's just super neat. I'd love to buy a bunch of these. I think they're very, very cool. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information that you need to stay alive. This has been a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 66 people for the month of August. Thank you so much to everyone who donated. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to any sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. I'd like to get, I'm particularly interested in any news stories regarding the, you know, any of the private military companies that are running around. I want to keep an eye on those guys. Make sure that, you know, we're not getting too far out of line with some of the, because these guys don't answer to anybody, so somebody should be holding these guys accountable for what they do. If you like the music in the background, make sure to pick up the album by Hellbent called Hardcore Vanilla. You know that's hardcore when you're a hardcore vanilla. And I'm going to leave you now with a track by Funker Vought called Gunman, and this is the female mix. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Thank you.